ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग टुडे मॉर्निंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर नंबर 25 एंटाइटल द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ किंग पुरंजन टेक्स्ट नंबर 48 नलिनी नालिनी चा प्राग निर्मिते द्वारा एकत्र निर्मिते अवधूत शोकताभ्याम अवधूत अवधूत साकाशाभ्याम विषयं यति सौरभम् विषयं यति सौरभम् नलिनी नालिनी च प्राग् द्वारवेकत्र निर्मिते अवधूत साकाशाभ्याम् विषयं याति सौरभम् word meaning Nalini of the name Nalini Nalini of the name Nalini Cha also Prak Eastern Dwarav two gates Ekatra in one place Nirmite constructed Avaduta of the name Avadhuta Sakaha with his friend Tabhyam by those two gates Vishayam place Yati to be used Saurabham of the name Saurabha Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Translation Similarly, in the east, there were two sets of gates named Nalini and Nalini. And these were also constructed in one place. Through these gates, the king, accompanied by a friend named Avadhuta, used to go to the city of Saurabha. Purport. The two gates named Nalini and Nalini are the two nostrils. The living entity enjoys these two gates with the help of different Avadhutas or airs, which constitute the breathing process. Through these gates, the living entity goes to the town of Saurabha or Aroma. In other words, the nostrils, with the help of their friend, the air, enjoy various aromas in the material world. Nalini and Nalini are the pipes of the nostrils through which one inhales and exhales, enjoying the aroma of sense pleasure. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सगना सुविशाखान्वितं स हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tanta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sivasari Gauranga Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kangaroti Vajanam Pangam Nangaite Girim Yat Kripatamagam Vande Sri Guru Dinatayanam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namre Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshitarine Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas, I'd like to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. So here the different gates, there are 9 gates in the city, and they are yesterday they were talking about the 2 eyes, now the 2 gates. So these 2 gates are located in the eastern. So because here the assumption is that the face is facing the sun. So the 5 gates are facing the east direction. One is facing the north and one is facing the south. So that becomes 7. And the 2 gates are facing the west. So the 7 gates which are in the surface, which is located in the face, and the 2 gates are subterranean, which is located below the waist. So the face facing the sun, so these 2 gates, especially these nostrils, they are some that facing the sun. So the 2 nostrils, they're given the name also, Nalini and Nalini. So it's a usual customary that even if you go to, you know, any of the temples or any other, even the South India or even the Puri Jagannath, we have different gates and there is a name for the gate. Simhadwara, then, you know, horse gate, lion gate. So there are towers. So in South India, many of the temples, they have a big tower, north facing tower, south facing tower. And different gates and towers are there, so that entrance into the premises of the temple. So here the city has also have a big tower, even in fact in before, it says that there are 2 towers. So one is the north and the head for the city. So big tower is here. And usually they have this raised nose. This is one of the features of the Lord actually. The Lord has a very raised nose. It is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has a nose which is similar to the sesame flower, which is so beautiful and raised. So they like to have, you know, raised nose. Of course, if you see in present situation that any bodily feature that we have, it is due to our own activities, karma, we are getting a reaction to it. No one can design our face. No one can design how we are going to look. No one can design where we can take birth. What is our complexion? Who could be our parents? Or what is our, you know, background? So everything, you know, we cannot choose. This is a reality. Whatever we have, we have. You know, we are born with certain features in our body. Certain way, our eyes, nose, our cheeks, bodily color. So even beauty is one of the opulence. If you see in this material world, if someone is beautiful, then they attract. It's natural. If someone is beautiful, they're going to attract people. Because that's one opulence. Because Krishna is the most beautiful. In fact, Krishna is the name, is known as the all-attractive. Who is more beautiful than Krishna? Because Krishna is the most beautiful person. So if you see that, so his beauty is unmatched. Even the Cupid got attracted to Krishna, what to speak of other, you know, living entities. So the main purpose that Krishna is performing is pastime. Yes, bye. Yes, Radharani also more beautiful than Krishna. That is an advanced subject matter. Because Krishna attracted the Cupid and Radharani attracted Krishna. So that's why Radharani's name is Madan Mohan Mohini. The one who can attract Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan means one who attracts Madan. So you're right. So coming back, so that's why, because the Supreme Lord, the main purpose of, you know, performing pastimes or his beauty or his glory is explained just to attract the conditioned soul to him. Because otherwise, you know, if you see, as long as, if you know more details of that person, if you know more of that person, then obviously you will develop some kind of attraction towards that person. So like, for example, if you any, you know, if you are following any cine star or sports person or anyone, then you want to know what he is doing, what is his activities, what, you know, championship is won, or what beauty contest is won, or what is the movies is coming, what is the style, and, you know, you keep on, you know, the newspaper or, you know, gossiping or telling something, even if they do something certain, like even if they, you know, get into a car, they'll put a news, you know, like that. So they make a big, you know, churning out of it. So similarly, when devotees meet together, they discuss about the pastimes of Krishna or the activities of Krishna. So that actually attracts the conditioned soul. So here the nose is very beautiful. But then what happened here, if you see, there are so many plastic surgery. So if your nose, if you are not happy with your nose, you can change it. So this kind of operation is called rhinoplasty. Where they can design and align your nose accordingly. If your nose is curved, they can make it straight. If your nose is big, they can make it small. So if your hole is big, they make it small. If your hole is small, they can make it big. So many kinds of rhinoplasty. It's called rhinoplasty. It's a big industry. All the celebrities, all the models, all the, you know, they are not happy with what they got. It's a simple principle. Why? First of all, they don't know who they are. And second, they don't know what to do with whatever they have. So this is a principle, because if you think, for example, this is most applied to most of the people. Suppose if you think we are this body, then obviously we need to take care of the body. So then what happened? Your expenditure, your worries, your anxieties, your fear, everything is revolving around this aspect that you are this body. So you want to protect this body from dangers. You want to present this body in a very perfect manner. You want to, sustain. Keep that, you know, you don't want to see wrinkles in your faces. You don't want to see, you know, bulging nose. So this rhinoplasty was done. In fact, you know, the first ever rhinoplasty was done in the pastimes of Ramayana. So rhinoplasty, the first patient was Surpanaka. And the first surgeon was Lord Ram. Surpanaka was to want to attract Lord Ram. She went to Allur. Even Lakshman said, no, I cannot, you know, my master is there. Then she went to Lord Ram to, you know, and then she pleaded that you accept me, you know, I'm here to surrender myself. But Lord Ram was already, you know, he's a Ekapati Virudha, you know, like he's already married Sita. And she's going to attack Sita. Then Lord Ram gave a lesson. He cut the nose and cut the ears. Then the whole episode of Ramayana, you know, begin. Just because of this, then she went back to Ravan. She exactly knew how to involve Ravan in this subject matter. If she would have told me, you know, he had damaged my ears, my, you know, nose, you have to take revenge of him, he would have not bothered so much. Then what she did? She started to glorify the beauty and the, you know, structure and the bodily feature and the activities of Sita. She started telling, you know, you should see this girl. She's like the heavenly damsel. She's the most beautiful. And started to tell more and more and more details of Sita. So then obviously Ravan, what? His heart was completely overwhelmed with the beauty of Sita. And he thought that this object is meant for my enjoyment. So this is a natural thing we see, that if we see anything in the world beautiful, then immediately what we thought, this is for me. This is called lust. So lust means doesn't matter, you know, it has to be gross, it can be subtle also. That if we see certain thing and we think that this is for my enjoyment, that is lust. And if you see something and you think that this is for someone, that is especially this can be offered to Krishna, then that is love. Very simple. It's very simple. If you see material and spiritual life, there is only one thing. In material life, is we are the center. That everything you see, anything you see, whatever you have, it's for my own enjoyment. Then we are in the material spectrum. Then anything we have, anything you see, anything you're going to get, it's not for me, it's for others, especially for Krishna. Then if we have that selfless mood, then we are in the spiritual arena. It's very simple. Because the nature is that when we think I'm going to be the enjoyer, then we're going to be entangled in the material world. But then we are acting as a servant, especially when we have that mood of, you know, want to give service, then you don't want to, you know, claim that ownership or proprietorship, because a servant, you know, is always, his mood is to serve the master. So if we accept Krishna as our master, then we are here to serve. So following the footsteps of Lord Ram, there was also an incident in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur was traveling, and then he came to this town where he was staying with Balram Acharya. And there was this family, Majumdas, you know, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdas, who are basically uncle and father of Raghunath Das. So they were having this talk and basically discuss about Krishna. So one day, they invited Haridas Thakur to their place. So Haridas Thakur went, and then all the devotees were there. In fact, it said Haridas Thakur chanted their 300,000 names of Krishna, holy name. So then the people were started telling the glories of the holy name. So one person said, this holy name is so powerful that it can eradicate all the sins which one performed. That this can eradicate the sin. And then the other person, you know, another person started to glorify. This holy name is so powerful that one can, you know, even get liberated from this material world. It has a potency, it can liberate one. So then Haridas Thakur said, actually, see, these glories are there, but this is not the main purpose why one would chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It is said in, I think, the Kapila teaching, Lord Kapila, the devotional service can be performed in three modes of material nature. That is in goodness, passion and ignorance. One should understand devotional service itself is not under the modes of material nature, because devotional service itself is transcendental. But the performer or the devotee who is performing devotional service can be in modes of material nature. So a devotee who is performing devotional service in mode of goodness means his focus is, how can I eradicate my karma? So I want to eradicate my karma. For that purpose, I can do devotional service. So this is the goodness motivated of performing devotional service. Sometimes we do say, in people in to take up the process. We say you don't have to worry, your karma can be eradicated, your sins can be gone. It is there in Nectar of Devotion, in the first, in the characteristics. What is the characteristics of devotional service? Rupa Goswami explained about Klesha Agni. Agni, fire, Klesha, all the miseries. It's like the forest fire, everything can be eradicated. The seed, the propensity, the reaction. You know, you can see the cycle where avidya, then you perform papam, then comes aparabdha, you know, phalam, and then prarabdha, then kutam. So everything can be, you know, in each individual step you can be eradicate these things. These things will go away. And then once this miseries and everything for it is reducing, and simultaneously you get subhada, that is all auspiciousness. So these two are like hand in hand. That the moment we go less in our devotional, I mean in the material miseries come down, it's basically like, suppose you are in a very hot day out, you know, we are getting some quite a very sunny day. Suppose if it's a 40 degree day and you are out there and you are sweating and you are like, you know, so much of pain, which is because of the so much heat, and then, you know, you are entering into a room or something which is nice, chill, 16 degree, very cool temperature like that. So when you enter into that room, how do you feel? You feel like so much of relief. This is so good actually. Then slowly, you know, you feel the relief and you all your, you know, heat stroke and everything comes down like. So something like that, because the moment one take up the Krishna consciousness or devotional service, he can feel the relief, great relief from the material pangs of material miseries, because he can quickly relate how one's, you know, consciousness, everything is shifting from the bodily consciousness to the Supreme Lord. So he was saying, Adidas Thakur, that this is just a byproduct of the holy name, that your sinful reaction will be eradicated, that you can be eligible, you can be liberated. The main purpose is that one, by chanting the holy name, that one can get, develop Krishna prema, the love of God. This is the main. Because we can see in the 10 offenses also, we can see that one should not chant the holy name on the strength of, we can, should not perform the sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. So this is Haridas Thakur was saying, this is the main reason why we chant, but then we get the side byproducts that, you know, one sinful reaction is eradicated and get liberated. Even in fact, he says, for getting liberation, just by the dim reflection of the holy name is enough to get liberation. So he was telling, it's exactly like the sun rising. So early morning in the dawn, you may not see the sun in the sky, but just by the fact that the sun is rising, you can see the skies are clear. All the, you know, person who want to do the mischief activities like the rogues and the thieves, everyone will flee. They don't want to do that, you know, stealing or anything in that daylight, right? They want to do in the night. So that the fact that, you know, the sun may not be fully risen, but the fact that it is, you know, almost there, we can see. You may not see the sun, but you can see its light, and so that is enough to just get liberated. To get the liberation, this is enough. By just a glimpse, shadow, or the reflection of the holy name is enough to get one person, one devotee, get to liberated from this material world. But this, you know, some people are there who may not like this, because for especially the Mayavadis, for them the liberation is the highest. And to get liberated and to merge in the Brahma Jyoti is the highest they think, and they don't want to take this liberation as a cheap subject matter. Because, you know, for us, liberation is not the final goal of Krishna consciousness. For us is above liberation. Even, you know, who is that? Bilva Mangal Thakur. He is saying, for a devotee, liberation is waiting at the doorstep like a servant, ready to serve. So devotees are not interested in just liberating oneself from this material world. Devotees are interested to serve Krishna. By serving Krishna, this liberation is become, you know, like an insignificant subject matter. But then this liberation is also, you know, very subject, high subject matter. Because we are devotees, we see it as a, like, you know, okay, this is very insignificant. But for, you know, for person who are performing, you know, impersonal, they talk about these five kinds of liberation. You know, even the nectar of devotion starts with that. Salokya, Sarupya, Sarishti. All these five kinds, you know, and then what? Merging into the Supreme. Sayujya, right? So these are very much high subject matter and they don't like it and they think, you know, how can it's possible? So in that arena, there was one person called Gopala Chakravarti. He got really offended. He think, you know, he challenged Haridas Thakur. He said, you know, this is not possible. How can you do that? Just by, you know, you're saying dim reflection of the holy name, that one person get liberated? No, that is not possible at all. And he, what he did, he said, if that going to be sure, may you make sure it, otherwise I'm going to cut your nose. He said, if that, you know, what you're saying, make sure, otherwise I will cut your nose. Like that. So then what happened, because he's, you know, very immature dealing, and because of his offensive, he offended the pure devotee Haridas Thakur, and everyone, you know, not happy with what he said. He said, then the person, you know, the Majumdar's family, they said, you know, you please, you know, get out of this place. Don't expect any fortunate things going to come in your life because you just offended a pure, great devotee Haridas Thakur. And the nature of the devotee is that, you know, Haridas Thakur, he said, you know, I'm not feeling offended. You know, he is speaking out of ignorance and, you know, I'm not feeling offended for this. But the devotee is so merciful, but the Lord doesn't take it very easily. Like if, for example, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we can see Arjuna is showing compassion, miserly weakness. Karpanya dosha, pahata svabhava, karpanya dosha. Miserly weakness. He's showing the softness nature of a devotee. He's feeling compassion. And he's showing, Prabhupada, right, you know, he's not the, it's not a, like a material weakness, but it's showing a character, one side of a devotee that he is most compassionate and merciful. And he is saying, you know, these people, let them enjoy. Let them, you know, take what they want. You know, the kingdom, okay, fine, let them take, I'll walk out. But the Supreme Lord doesn't live like that. Supreme Lord knew exactly how much the Pandavas has to go through, how much they have to suffer, how much, you know, in the arena, you know, where the Draupadi was disrobed. So Krishna never forget, because they offended the devotees, like the great devotees of Pandavas. So Krishna made the arrangement. Already Krishna thought, this has to be this in a paddy field, all the weeds has to be removed. Because Krishna is saying, you know, Krishna knows the past, present and the future. Krishna already showing to Arjuna that these people have already killed these people. I've already, you know, made arrangement. You just be an instrument because they have offended you. So similarly, because Gopal Chakravarti offended the Haridas Thakur, what happened? In 3 days' time, he inquired a leprosy disease. Because he inquired a leprosy disease, and the leprosy was so high that his nose started to melt and fall off. And his fingers and toes were melting. This is because, you know, he said that, you know, he wanted to cut the nose of Haridas Thakur, but you can see, because of his offense, his nose melted and fall off. So you can see in the past tense of Surpanaka, or both, you know, the devotees are following in the footstep, that any offense, they lose their nose. So like, you know, if you're trying to poke your nose in someone's, you should remember, our nose will be cut off. So we stay here to do our own business. You know, we used to, me and my other devotee, we used to say, we always, you know, say, okay, In Australia, they use this abbreviated, you know, BYO, DIY. Then, you know, and then we, MYOB, MYOB, yeah. So we used to say DIY, then we see, then I used to reply, MYOB. So do it yourself, DIY. MYOB is mind your own business. So you should remember this. Because that is the outside. So the real beauty, okay, fine. We are, you know, we talked about the rhinoplasty from the past time. And what is the real beauty of a Vaishnava? A real beauty is that we put tilak. By decorating the tilak and our nose, that reminds of Tulasi and the Vishnu. So that's a real beauty for a Vaishnava, because by decorating the body with a tilak mark, he is actually making this body as a temple where the Supreme Lord can reside within one's heart. We know that the part of Paramatma and the Atma both are living within oneself. We just have to remind ourselves as a place of worship. So we maintain the cleanliness outside and inside. Then interesting is, here it's talk about sense pleasure. So we want to, so this, if you see, this material world have a duality in nature. That is good and bad, rich and poor, happy and sad, wealthy, not so wealthy, beauty, ugly. So similarly, if you see, the pleasure which is derived from the nose, we want to make sure that we inhale a good aroma or a good smell. Isn't that a reason? If you see, if you go to any, you know, or you know, in the, even one time I saw in the tram, or use this deodorant, it can last long for 48 hours. So basically 2 days you don't have to take bath. You know, they claim, oh, this is 48 hours, this is 72 hours, this is for 1 week. So, you know, you're just doing a patchwork of, because this body, if you see, it's going to emit all foul smell. Because what is in there, it's going to come out. It's not a, you know, rocket science. What is within us, it's going to come out. Even if you have certain quality within you, that's what is going to come out. Don't expect something new which is going to come out if you have a lot of bad qualities within us. So that's why, you know, this chanting is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. It works on the root. It works on your, you know, hidden agenda. It's within your heart, because that actually churn and changes, that actually comes to the surface where you can emit. So here you can see the deodorant. So many deodorants are there. So many, you know, fragrance materials are there in the cosmetic world. It's a big industry where you can buy, you know, you can spray. They have one, you know, they, especially, you know, they have certain kind of deodorants where you can attract the opposite sex. They have certain for the male gender, they have certain for the female gender, they have certain for the mixed gender. You know, it is, they see how, you know, this, by just walking, oh, this is a good smell. Then they ask, where did you get this one from? Because why? Because they want to make sure they don't want to get the bad smell and they want to get a good smell. The same with the life. What is our struggle is what? That I don't want any problem, at the same time I want happiness. So most of the life is what? To avoid the problems of life, we make so much of endeavor and then we want to get the happiness. And in fact, this general notion is that as long as I can avoid the problem, that will be the happiness. So the definition of happiness is changes that right now I don't have problem, so that becomes happiness. But actually that's not the happiness. That's just a phase where we haven't identified or we haven't encountered our scheduled problem. So then here, so many fragrance, we sense pleasure. Sense pleasure is what? That the sense object come in contact with sense pleasure. We want to derive certain kind of happiness. What is that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Ei samsparsha boha dukkha yenaiva vrijati, samsparsha bhoga, that the sense perception, that trying to enjoy, that is the cause of misery. What is the cause of misery or suffering? That when we try to connect the senses with the sense object, then it becomes a cause of misery. Then what are we going to do? Because the senses are there, the sense objects are there. So we can see from the examples of four Kumaras or the devotees, and in the third canto is there one episode, or the Ambarish Maharaj. So we use the sense of nose, the sense of smell in the service of Krishna. That's why when we offer the flower to the Lord Shiva, then we smell. That become purification. Like for example, we offer the incense, offered incense we smell, offered flowers we smell. So that becomes, you know, purifying the heart. That's what happened to four Kumaras. When they walk into the Vaikuntha, they inhale the smell, the aroma of Tulasi, which was kept along with the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of Vishnu. When they inhale that, there is a quick transformation. There is a quick transformation in the heart. Because when the senses are engaged in the service of Krishna, that is called bhakti. What is bhakti? Bhakti means that the senses are engaged in the service of the proprietor of the senses, the original, the master of the senses, the Rishikesha, who is Krishna, then that becomes bhakti. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was there, Arjuna was there. So initial, before Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Arjuna is calling Krishna, "Hey Govinda, O Govinda, O Madhava," like that name. So what is Govinda means? Govinda means one who give pleasure to cow. The other meaning is one who give pleasure to the senses. So here Arjuna is addressing Krishna, "Oh Govinda," that means his mood is, right now my senses, my mind are giving lot of problem. I couldn't able to, my Gandiva is going down, my senses, you know, can you do something so that my senses get satisfied? We also have the situation in our life that we have some problem, we have some misfortune. So we're saying, "Hey Govinda, you are the pleasure of the senses. You know, you give pleasure to the senses. Why don't you give pleasure to my sense?" "Hey Madhava," we call him. Madhava means what? The husband of goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. "Hey Madhava, you are, you know, fortunate. You know, you are the husband of the goddess of fortune. Why I am unfortunate situation? Can you make it fortunate?" Arjuna also is asking, "Hey Govinda, hey Madhava, can you do something about it? You are Madhusudana. You are the killer of the demon Madhu. I have so many doubts. Can you kill that?" So in that situation, he is using the words of Krishna for one's own satisfaction. This is kama. But that is not the way. Bhakti means what? That the senses has to be, you know, used in the service of Krishna. And the central theme of Bhagavad Gita, what is the central theme of Bhagavad Gita? The central theme of Bhagavad Gita is that one should satisfy the senses of Krishna. The central theme of the material world is what? That one should satisfy his own senses. That one, everything is prevailing, everything is provided for one's own satisfaction. That is the central theme here. But the central theme of Bhagavad Gita is given, I think, in the introduction, in the preface, I think. The central theme of Bhagavad Gita is that one should satisfy the senses of Krishna, not one's own sense gratification. One's own sense gratification means that he is entangling, he is signing up for more and more problems. So at the moment when we use our senses in the service of Krishna, then that is uplifting, that is purifying. So we have senses and we want to do sense gratification. So if you suppress, it's not going to work. Or if you indulge, it's not going to work. These are two extremities are there. that one you indulge, that you indulge means you are adding oil into the fire, thinking that this liquid will subsidize the fire. But this is only going to increase the fire when you add oil. That is indulging, that one indulging the senses more and more, that is going to give more and more frustration, not able to satisfy the sense demand. Then the other side is that you suppress, that you control, you tolerate, artificially make it, like austere or painful. That is more painful because one fine day it's like if you have a desire, if you satisfy, it's going to become lust. If you're going to suppress, it's going to become anger. Very simple. You're going to develop anger or you're going to develop greed when you have lusty desire or lust. So what to do? So the idea is that purification. Yes, senses are there. We have to do certain activities. Yes, you do the activity, you offer to Krishna and you're going to enjoy. And you do that activity in the first place to Krishna, then obviously we're going to get that as a purificatory. So when we do that purification gradually, then our senses are purified, then the purification is there, then we don't want to have our own pleasure. We want to give pleasure to Krishna. So our activities are, the attitude of the activities and the consciousness of the activities is changed. That you do the activity not for my pleasure, but for the pleasure of the Lord and for the devotees, then that activity is Krishna consciousness. So I'll just stop here and see if anyone has any question, comments, or a correction on what we discussed about the nose. Okay? Everyone clear? Okay. Stop here. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.